you have your Bibles, I invite you to find John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10. As we work our way through the book of John this year, we are doing that with the theme of knowing Jesus more, more Jesus in our lives. Let's dive in together. John 10, beginning in verse number 1 through verse number 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he put forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So Jesus is speaking to a group of Pharisees. His disciples are also gathered there, and I'm sure there's another part of a crowd that are gathered there, as we've seen when we saw in chapter 9. And Jesus uses something that is common to them, but not so common to us. Some of you have been to Israel, like Keith and I have had the privilege of going. You will see shepherds taking care of their sheep out in the field. Some of you can picture it in your minds. Keith and I, on our first trip, we were with our group, and our leader led us around a tell, or a group of ruins where he had taught us. And when we came around, there was a shepherd, probably a teenage boy, somewhere around 12 or 13, I would guess. And he had a bunch of sheep there, and that was his flock. And he was throwing rocks. He was picking up rocks, and he was throwing them. And he would just throw them. He would throw them ahead of the sheep. We wonder, like, what is he doing? And our leader told us as we walked by, he said, he's protecting those sheep from going too far. He's keeping them together. And sheep are so skittish that he'll throw the rock. If it lands beside them, they'll move away from that. So shepherd boys, shepherd girls, shepherd young men and shepherd young women have learned to throw you rocks so that they can protect their sheep, because there are no fields in the sense of there's pasture land where my sheep will stay in this pasture and yours will in that one. No, there's no fence. They just wander, and those shepherds have permission to be in certain areas. So the shepherd boy would throw rocks, and that's how he kept his sheep all in one place. He could throw them beyond the sheep to keep them close by, or to the right or left to keep them in the area. Again, this idea is a little bit foreign to you and I. But Jesus uses this example with a crowd of people that would have known exactly what he was talking about, whether they've ever been shepherds or not. They see it almost every day in their society. And so the idea here is that the shepherds and the sheep were commonplace to them, but on a greater detail spiritually, the idea is that the disciples of Jesus will truly follow him. Just like we said in our verses in John 8, 31 and 32. They remain with that shepherd. So he shares here the idea of a sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold to you and I would be more like a corral, maybe even a barn. Most often, 365 days a year, rain or shine, doesn't matter, the shepherd keeps his sheep out in the fields. He takes them from place to place. When it's time to lay down, the shepherd, he or she, will make their sheep lie down. If it's time to drink, he or she will take them by a place to drink, a stream or a pond. When it's time for them to eat, you and I would look and see the pasture and see, this is all rocks. How in the world is there something to eat? The shepherd knows the right time of day and the right locations where to go, where there's enough for his sheep to be able to eat. That's the job of the shepherd. He knows his sheep backwards and forwards, in most cases has raised them from birth. So on occasion, rare occasions, shepherds may bring their sheep all together into a corral, a sheepfold, a barn of some kind for some reason. And so there may be several shepherds that bring their sheep together. When they do, they go through a door, and there's usually a gatekeeper there. It may be one of the other shepherds whose turn it is to watch over the sheep for whatever amount of time. It may have been somebody who's hired to be there. But somebody guards that door, and the only people that are allowed in are the shepherd who's supposed to be there and the sheep who are supposed to be with that shepherd. The gatekeeper knows who those are. And Jesus says if there's a thief that comes, the thief will climb in, because the gatekeeper will not allow somebody to come through the door of the sheepfold that doesn't belong there. That's his or her responsibility to keep them out. But when the shepherd comes back from whatever his or her business was, and they come back to get their sheep, all of the sheep may be mingled together. So the shepherd comes through the door, and the gatekeeper knows that shepherd's supposed to be there, so he lets him in. That shepherd then will call his sheep out by name, even to this day. And those sheep will follow that shepherd out the door. When they get out of the door, then the shepherd will lead them. He won't tell them where to go. He will lead them where to go because those sheep are completely, 100% dependent upon that shepherd. They don't know where to go, and they don't know what to do without the shepherd leading them. The sheep will only respond to their shepherd. If another shepherd comes along and tries to bring them out, Jesus says here that those sheep will not follow, and they won't. They know the voice of their shepherd, and they will follow that voice. They will run from the stranger's voice. They'll be scared of who that stranger is. So Jesus sets the stage here with them, helping them understand something physical that many of them see every single day in their own country. But Jesus is trying to make a spiritual point. So go with me to John chapter 10. We'll start in verse 6 through verse 13. Verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what these things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep." So the Jews didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. John tells you here. They didn't understand that he was trying to make a spiritual point, as he's been doing with them through the book of John and in these teachings over chapter 8, 9, and 10. He's trying to help them understand an eternal truth, but all they see is the physical. Jesus then explains it to them. He says in verse 7 that he is in fact the door of the sheep. Now, he's not talking about the physical sheepfold in that moment. He's talking about the spiritual reality that if you and I want to enter the rest of God, if we want to enter heaven, then we've got to go through Jesus Christ. We're going to see this again in a couple of weeks as we look at John 14, when Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We want to see that what God has in store for us is something that is real. Matt, I'm going to switch to the pulpit mic. There you go. Sorry about that. But Jesus says to them, he is the door of the sheep. And he says that there have been others that have come claiming to be the Messiah, but they were not. They do not fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. They were not the door to the sheep. Now notice that part of this is that the door is the important way in. There is no other way in. In the sheepfold instance, the sheep come only in and out as they're led by the shepherd to do so. They don't leave on their own. They're not allowed to. The gatekeeper takes care of all of that. Jesus says to them that he is the door of the sheep. No one else can enter any other way. He is the ultimate way in and out. Notice that Jesus says here that the shepherd goes in and brings the sheep out and then takes them to find pasture. Again, the sheep, if he just says to them, "Okay, go out of the sheepfold," they're not going to go very far because they don't know where to go. Now, here's where it becomes interesting. Throughout the Bible, you and I, especially even as believers, are referred to as sheep. I don't know if you know much about sheep. I've been learning about them, but sheep are not the most intelligent animals in the world. They are completely dependent upon the shepherd. They're not going to be able to take care of themselves. They're not going to be able to defend themselves from a predator. They are completely dependent on the shepherd, but that's the idea. God says to you and to me, if you'll allow Jesus to be the good shepherd in your life, then you need to learn to be completely dependent on him, because without him, you cannot live this life, and you certainly can't make it into eternity. You've got to learn to let Jesus Christ be your shepherd. For most of us, we got up this morning and did our normal routine. We didn't consult Jesus at all. We didn't ask him what he wants us to do today. We just have done what we always do. We need to learn to be dependent on our shepherd. We need to let him guide us and lead us, not for our own benefit, but for his benefit. He says here in verse number 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's same today. If you have somebody who's a thief, they're only coming to steal, kill, and destroy to benefit themselves. They don't care what you think. They don't care how hard you've worked to take care of your property or provide for you and for your family. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that he came to give us abundant life, to give us a life here on this earth where he has given us, but even greater than that, to give us a life in eternity with the Father. But he says you can't get to have the abundant life here and the abundant life in eternity without believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, without being completely dependent on Jesus Christ as our shepherd. Look at what he says in verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he also says the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's true. History records, and still today, when a shepherd has sheep that start to wander off, the shepherd will do whatever is necessary to take care of those sheep, because those sheep are important. They're part of his livelihood. They're part of his flock, and he has raised them most likely from birth. He wants to take care of them. Remember the story that Jesus tells of the shepherd who had 99 sheep in his flock, and one ventured off. And what did that shepherd do? Say, you know what? One sheep, who cares? I got 99 at home. No. Jesus said that shepherd left those 99, went to find the one. And when he found the one, he came back rejoicing and celebrating. And Jesus compared that to what Jesus Christ did for you and me. He would have died for just one of us because he loves us. He is the good shepherd, and he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Notice what he says about the person who is hired to take care of the sheep, especially in a sheepfold. If a wolf or some predator comes to try to attack the sheep, the hireling, the person who's been hired, they don't have any investment in the sheep. They're just getting paid for the time that they sit there. And he says, when a wolf or some danger comes, the person who's not the shepherd will run away to take care of themselves. They don't care about the sheep because they don't own that sheep. They're not invested. They're not concerned. But instead, the shepherd cares and is willing to lay down his life for any difficult situation. Let's continue this morning in chapter 10, verse 14 through verse 21. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep which are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. There arose a division again among the Jews because of these words, and many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? Jesus says again here that he is the good shepherd. He knows his own, and his own know him, because they follow and depend on the good shepherd. If you struggle with whether or not you know Jesus, he knows you if you've trusted in him. And if you've truly trusted in him, then you know that. You don't have to guess at that. He and the Father know each other, he says, and he is willing to lay down his life. That's why he came. And he's willing to do that of his own accord, not because the Father told him he has to, but because the Father loves us, he sent his Son. And the Son is choosing to lay down his life for us. Jesus said in verse 16, there are other sheep that need to be brought into the fold under one shepherd. He's not just talking about the Jews. Now he's talking about the Gentiles, which is all the rest of us who are not Jews. Jesus made a way for us. In Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah speaks of the coming Messiah, and he uses the same imagery in one verse. Isaiah 53, verse 6, speaking of the coming Messiah, it says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, to fall on Jesus, who is willing to die for our sins. The Father, verse 17, loves the Son. And the Son was willingly laying down his life, knowing that he will take it up again, but he's going to go through the pain and the torture of dying on the cross for your sins and mine. He lays it down of his own initiative, Jesus is saying, and this is before it even happens. No one is forcing him to do that. The Father has given him full authority to lay it down and pick it up again if he chooses to. Romans 5, verse 8 says it this way, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is trying to help them understand a spiritual reality using a physical reality in their own lives. But notice what happens. We've already seen this several times with the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees that are there, the people that are gathered around. It says in verse 19, there arose a division again among the Jews because of these words. Some of them were saying, Jesus has a demon. We've already seen this. They don't have any more arguments. They don't know how to take him and understand him and believe him. They want everybody to turn against him. So again, they say, well, he just has a demon. And oh yeah, he's insane too, he's crazy. Why in the world would you listen to him? But others in the crowd said, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed, because we know a demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? Remember the man that was born blind that we talked about last week that Jesus healed? They're saying, we know that only God can heal somebody. So this division, this reality of what is taking place for them when Jesus is trying to help them understand the spiritual truth, the religious leaders of the day who should be embracing him and falling at his feet and recognizing who he is because they know the word, they know the prophecies of the coming Messiah, instead call him demon-possessed and crazy. They're trying to get rid of him. But there are others there who recognize they need more Jesus. They need to understand him better. Well, you and I need more Jesus in our lives. From these verses, one of the points that I would say is that we must go through the door, which is Jesus. He says it, he is the door. If you and I want to get to heaven, remember that God's the one who created heaven. He's the one who gets to determine who gets to go and how they get to get there. And he says the only way to get there is through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, simply believing in him. You can't climb up the outside wall. You can't get there because of doing good things or because somebody else says you should go. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just like the shepherd had to go through the door to get his sheep. You and I must go through the door. We must believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, nothing else. The second thing that we can learn from these verses is we must learn to avoid the thief, the devil. We've already seen in the book of John, he is a liar. He's the father of lies. But you and I still give in to him, which means we aren't fully dependent on the good shepherd, Jesus, even as a believer. We're still trying to do things ourselves. That's what temptation is. Temptation's trying to get you to understand or think that you can get something better than what the good shepherd can give you. And we give in to that lie more often than we'd like to admit. But we need to learn to avoid him and run from him. Just like the sheep don't know what to do when a wolf comes or a predator comes, but our good shepherd does. We need to trust him. understand that the thief always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Third, we need to recognize that because God loves us, Jesus was willing to lay down his life for you. Sometimes that's a hard concept to grasp. Jesus laid down his life for you, and if you were the only sinner, he would have died for you. But we're all sinners and we need him. But we need to recognize and acknowledge that he died for us. He was willing to give up his life for us and not just die on a cross, but he allowed his life to become sin, even though he never committed a sin. He had never experienced the shame of sin. He had never experienced grief from sinning, knowing that he shouldn't have. He had never sinned, but then he had to take on the sin of you and me and all that goes with that, the shame, the guilt, the feelings of oppression, the struggles, the realities of giving in to sin. He laid down his life for you. I want to end the sermon a little bit differently today. I want you to hear a scripture that probably most of you are familiar with. And I want you to think about it in the context of what Jesus is saying to those who were listening there and then to our benefit today. He's trying to, again, share with them a spiritual reality of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He cares about us. Listen to Psalm 23 as I read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that you, in fact, sent Jesus to this earth for us. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he gives us every opportunity to trust him, to follow him, to believe him, to learn from him, and to live for him. So, Father, help us to be willing to do that. Forgive us when we try to do things of our own accord, knowing that the Father, the Good Shepherd, is the only one who can take care of us. So, Father, help us to trust Jesus as the door, the only door that leads to you. Jesus, we thank you for being that door. Thank you for being the Good Shepherd. Thank you for always taking care of us. Help us to trust you more. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.